This week, we enter into week number 14 of our Mark Focus series. Now, as I laid out when I first started this sermon series was meant to be in parts, not necessarily a verse-by-verse walk through the book of Mark, which I think would be a great time sometime, but since I'll be here 30 years, we'll have plenty of time to do that another day. Because it might take a few years to get through it. But, you know, just throwing that out there. But today I wanted to look at this specifically, which is week 14. And our slogan is up, up, and away. And if you have taken a look at the scripture ahead of time, you understand why it's titled that this week. Interesting thing about this series is that the goal in it was to focus on Christ's ministry and how he has ministered to us as his disciples. Now, we do focus a lot on what it means to actually the disciples and how they were ministered to and how the people around were ministered to. But it reveals a lot about who Christ is and what he's been for us in our lives and the lives of all Christians that's gone before us. See, today we'll be in Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. If you want to turn to your Bibles, we'll be there in just a moment. But this is the final message of this series. Now, there is some very important pieces of scripture that I kind of glossed over this week, which is, of course, not only the death of Christ, but also the resurrection of Christ. Because we just had Easter, right? So I feel like you guys are good, faithful Christians, and you already implied that, and you know where we are in scripture. And at this point, it is after the death and after the resurrection and after he's revealed himself to so many of the disciples and the people of the communities. And that's where we pick up this message today. So today we did a test run on my technology and it all works. So we'll just see how that goes. So we're going to start off with our first fill in the blank, which is the perplexed disciples. And it's verse 14. So I'll be reading section by section this week. Verses 14 in chapter 16. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who saw him after he had been resurrected. The perplexed disciples, they have been following Jesus Christ hand in hand, literally, for 3 full years at this point. And because of that, they had direct knowledge of who he was and that he was who he said he was. But see, even the disciples missed it, didn't they? Even the disciples missed it who literally seen him face to face. There's probably moments in your life that you've longed to see him face to face so he could just speak to you directly. Maybe even times as such as this, we're going through such this difficult time in our world. We sure would love to see him face to face and for him to explain to us how much he loves us and how much he cares for us and that we should not have to have any fear. See, we long for his presence, but see, the disciples had it and still they missed it. That he was buried and resurrected and that they did not even believe those who were saying that we have seen the resurrected Messiah. You see, what a situation they have. What a time they have. That instead of now going out and preaching the gospel and saying, Jesus is the Lord, they were hunkering down at a table, reclining. So you have to understand those key words that we're using in this. They weren't just sitting at a table in fear or in a room hiding out, but they were reclining, which means they were leisurely sitting there, fellowshipping with one another. After already hearing the news that Jesus has resurrected by many people, and yet they ignored that truth. They didn't want to believe it, or maybe they didn't understand how to believe that to be a truth. See, verse 14 has a lot to tell us, a lot to share with us of who Jesus is. He is the resurrected king. Isn't it amazing how he rebukes them? Now, I know. For me, I have never seen him face to face. I have never had a pillar of cloud come over me and then God speak to me directly. But there are times in my life where I have felt that rebuke from Jesus. That even me, your pastor, has fallen into doubt at times. Now again, I'm sure none of these fine people at Banner have ever had that feeling. But if you've ever felt that rebuke, times at times, 1,000, to imagine Jesus standing before you face to face and giving you rebuke. What a perplexed disciples we had. To go through that time, to be with Jesus all that time, and then him, death, resurrected, and then he's standing before you. It's a perplexing time indeed for the disciples. What they're going through, what they've been going through. But there's much more to the story in there. Let us look at the next point here, which is the passing of the torch. See, he rebukes them, but then he brings it back full circle. He reminds them who they are in him. Reminds them why they were chosen. And some very key words here. Verses 15 through 19 explains this part. And I'll read it aloud. Then he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up snakes, and if they should drink anything deadly, it will never harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well." Then, after speaking to them, the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Let's look at some of this verse and what it means to have Jesus tell them this. Start off by a very key phrase that we all know. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I do want to add a side note there that I didn't really plan to acknowledge, but remember, he has given us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I would say this also, that don't be like the disciples and ignore his call. Now, he's not calling us all to be missionaries, but he's calling us all to preach the gospel. There will be one day that we all meet him face to face, and I mean all. Don't let him rebuke you then, because you did not listen to his words. You did not take his instruction, but yet you forgot. See, in this, the absence of his physical body, physical presence, was what happened, which is why they were forgetting quickly. How many days was it from his resurrection to this point? Don't really know, but it had to be quick. Because he started revealing. The reality is that he was no longer physical present with them, and they started weighing away. What a great struggle it is for us to not have him physically face to face and never had those moments of being face to face with him. And how we forget so easily of what it means to serve him. Imagine disciples who had that 3 years with him face to face and then sat down in a room, reclined because he wasn't physically present with them, to remind them who he was. See, the absence of his physical presence, he says this. Here's what he's going to give you. Here's what he's going to leave you with. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. go into all the world. He didn't say just go preach it to Byron Center. He didn't just say go preach it to Grand Rapids. Go preach it to all creation, is his words. See, the word creation is beyond ethnicity, beyond culture groups, beyond all this stuff. That our reality is that we are to preach the gospel everywhere we go. Thankfully, the disciples had Jesus come return to him and remind them of this fact of what he told them to do. And so with that, they did go into all. They did go into all creation to the best of their ability, which is exactly why we have the gospel today. But the reminder is that just because we don't have Jesus' physical presence to remind us what our role is, doesn't mean we stop doing it. Doesn't mean we stop sharing it. It means that we should be more robust knowing who he is. If you look at verse 16, it truly references why this is so important. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Think about right now in that moment when I said condemned. There is someone that you know that came to mind. Not a believer. Who choose not to believe. Who have seen you live your life and have refused the gospel. You have that person pictured in your mind? Now remember this statement that I say far too often. We all go to the throne room. And it's whether you believe or not. We all go there, and Jesus, the worthy one to sit on the throne, will either know us or not know us. They will either believe or they will be condemned. There's no in between. There's no, hey, you've been living your life really good. Good job, buddy. Go wait in this room over here for a certain amount of years, and then eventually you'll get in. You either are or you are not known. See, that's a reality of what it means to preach the gospel, what it means to share the gospel throughout the world, to all the nations, to all the creation. And it is the responsibility of Jesus' disciples. And let, in case you've forgotten, you as a believer, you one who has been called to serve Jesus Christ is a disciple of Jesus Christ. So you have been charged with sharing the gospel. Now go back to that picture that you had in your mind. That one person that you know right now that would be condemned if Jesus called us to the throne room today. Now what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because when we go to the throne room, we as believers, thankfully, will also account for our actions here on this earth. That person that you had pictured in your mind is the person you need to be talking to, sharing with. Spreading the word into all creation, all knowing, because Jesus has called us to it. The assurance of his promised power, referencing verses 17 through 19. The assurance of his promised power. So we look at 17 through 19. Now this is a verse that has a lot of context to it. Now some of you have seen this verse and you're like, whoa, what are we going to be talking about today? I promise you there's no cages up here. Has anything in it that's slithery. Not testing your faith with it. Because reality is this verse has been taken out of context so many times by denominations, by churches, and has made it to mean something far more than what it is. Today, our basic sense and basic understanding is this: the assurance of his promised power. He has given you the power that he has. But let me also help you understand that it's not your wielding power. You have no authority over that power. You as a believer have the reality that he works through you in the reality of life. That his power is not yours to wield, but it's his to wield through you. So that's the best way to understand the context of this verse. You look at verse 17, it says this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. Did you reference there that it doesn't have anything to do with you, except for that you are a believer? In my name, his power, his authority will work through you as the vessel known as a Christian, as a believer, as the one who calls him Lord, the one who calls him Lord and Savior. His power works through you because he will wield that power through you as a vessel. That is something for us to always remember and think through and be reminded of. That his power is far greater than we can even sum up or imagine. Imagine in the moments that you might have a difficult relationship. Maybe it's with a wife or a husband. I mean, husbands usually don't do anything wrong, but just throwing that out there for you. But just in case you happen to have one of those husbands who are complicated, or maybe you have one of those wives. You guys know what I'm talking about. The way you mend your relationship, the time you spend on your knees in prayer. The way that you mend any relationship, whether it be with a friend, a coworker, family member, a neighbor, is about the amount of time you spend on your knees in prayer and be used as a vessel because of his power, his authority that he will give into you. I tell you, if I use my human power to try to fix something that's going on with Sarah and I, we're doomed to fail from the start. So I'm just a rotten sinner, just like everybody else, who is transformed by the power of Christ. Not because I'm awesome, but because he is. And so when we have complications in our marriage, which every married couple does, and if you say you don't, you're a liar. And you might not be known when you go to the throne room. But the reality is that truth, that his power is great and magnificent, and he will work through you in all these ways. You must invite him into your heart, invite him into your life, and allow that power to reign through. And as you've seen here, the demonstration is that his power is far greater than we can imagine. Far greater than we can imagine. But you have the assurance of his power. May we always and forever remember that. That his power is great and grand, that it works directly through us. You do not have the authority to wield that power. But the more time you spend on your knees in prayer, the greater the presence of that power will be. Verse 20 goes into the referencing the purposeful disciples. So you noticed I started off with the perplexed disciples. And now in verse 20, they turn into the purposeful disciples. And this is the verse. Verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the accompanying signs. The purposeful disciples. You see these band of misfits that they were. I would probably say that not too unlike our church family here, or our church family inviting being here online today. That a band of misfits gathered together, all trusting in the Lord Jesus, all trusting that he is your Lord and Savior and believing that and hearing the words and being able to share that he is our Lord and Savior. Here, the disciples went out everywhere, and the Lord working with them. So he didn't just send them out and all these different disciples were doing these amazing things. Signs were just miraculous because they Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ was working through them. Amazing things happened. All these moments of people being healed and the reality of his name being known. But here's the key to what happened. The key is simple. It's two letters. Go. See, the disciples, when they were sitting in that room, hovered around a table, relaxing, reclined, however you want to use that phrase, pondering about the good old days when Jesus was with them. What were they doing for the name of Jesus? Nothing. Sitting there, fearful, wondering what to do next. And Jesus appears and reminds them of their responsibility, of what it is for them to do. And how they answered was go. They went. They did as Jesus asked. And because of that go, we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior today. Again, I remind you, not because the 11 disciples did what they were told to do, it's because Jesus worked through them to empower everyone who heard the gospel, that generation after generation after generation after generation, we stand here today as believers. We stand here as a church, as a part of the church, because the 11 disciples chose to go and listen and be obedient and trust in the Lord our God. What an amazing testimony. What an amazing way for us to end this series with the reality of go. Now, don't get too excited. I have some time I wanted to spend our wrap up. The reality is this piece of scripture closes out this sermon series by reminding us what our responsibility is, by reminding us what it actually means to serve our Lord God. I couldn't help but put the great reminder of that we all go to the throne room. When we hear the gospel, we're either a believer or we're condemned. There's no middle ground. See, that is the reality of this sermon series. To put our focus on Jesus, to be reminded of who he is and what he brings to the table. That he brings power beyond any of our thoughts, power beyond any of our recognition, power that we cannot wield ourselves. But thankfully, he can wield through us. You see, that's something for us to understand. The disciples missed it over and over and over again. Every single time that he said anything referencing he's the Lord, he is God's son. Every reference that reminded them that he really is the Messiah, they kept missing. And then he's gone and they're like, oh, well, I'll just go recline at the table and hide out for a little while until people forget that I was one of Jesus' disciples. They missed it over and over and over again. And then he actually died. And they still didn't get it. Do you get it? Again, I know I'm talking to my church family, and of course you all get it. None of you struggle with this subject matter. But just in case, it's worth reminding us. reminding us that don't just sit here or anywhere, sermon after sermon, and hear the message and say, oh, thank you, Pastor. Good job. And not get it. And not hear his words. Not my words, his words. Don't sit here sermon after sermon and not get it. And not be reminded that he is Lord. There was this book that came out several years ago by Kyle Ottoman, about not a fan. And it was a really good read and had a really good concept behind it. It's all about being a fan of Christ. I mean, now I know a lot of you guys are missing sports, and I wore my Notre Dame shirt last week on purpose to try to annoy a few of you. That wasn't my goal. I mean, I'm Christian. But on the other hand, try to annoy some people on purpose because I miss sports. You know, when I go to the Notre Dame Stadium and I see the most glorious stadium I've ever seen, and I sit there and I enjoy a great football team, and I'm cheering, and I'm reminded that I'm a fan of Notre Dame. I don't really care about the players. I just care about the Notre Dame football team. I don't research the stats. I don't even care win or losses, really. I just say, it's a great game. See, that's a fan. So if you come into our church every Sunday morning, or you view us online and you say, woohoo! I'm so glad to be here. Good job, Pastor. And you're not transformed by the words. If you're not moved by the music done by our worship leader and his wife, search your heart. Because maybe you're just reclining at the table. Not resting in his word. Don't be a fan. Be a follower of Christ. You see, when I was young, and even in adulthood, I didn't have any interest in Christ at all. I lived for self. But I'm thankful that I had that eye-opening moment, that realization that he is Lord, and that he rules over my life. Because that I can be called a follower of Christ today. I'm a fan of football, but I am a follower of Christ. Will you say that same sentiment today when you hear this message? His words, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And understanding the cost of not doing that. That some will believe and some will be condemned. May you leave these doors today. May you leave this time of online service. Whatever your venue is, you're hearing this message. May you forever be changed because of his words. And may you be forever reminded that his power is the way and the vessel. The power that he wields is through you. May you always be changed in that manner. I'm going to close out this sermon with prayer, and then I'll invite our pastoral intern, Carter, up to close out the service. Father, as we close out this message today, may we just be reminded that you are Lord, that you are the one who guides us, directs us. You are the one whose power wields through us. Father, when someone is healed and demons are cast out, and we're healed from things we cannot understand, it has nothing to do with us, but has everything to do with you and the way your power goes through us. May we always be reminded that the way to repairing relationships, the way to be reminded about our friendships and our family and our loved ones, is that the more time we spend on our knees, the more power that we will receive from you. Not to be wielded by us, but that you will be the one that goes before us and mends those relationships, heals those in sick, heal those that are dealing with fear and anxiety, healing those that are dealing with depression. Father, you are the one who can heal everyone. It is by your power that is done in our world. And Father, we are grateful for you. We are encouraged by you. And Father, may you forever and ever receive all the glory and honor. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.